From the Arts Center in downtown Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning us in. This is your wake-up call. We couldn't find your reservation, so please come to the front desk and take care of that immediately.
Good
to have you on.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rocco. We have the pleasure of having the company of Jennifer Tillman with us this morning. You may remember her from some moons ago. It might have been a year ago or so. I had her on about her book called Grooming Tales. She's a pet groomer, and she had some amazing stories to tell about the characteristics of animals, especially dogs, and how very childlike and very human the little spirits are, which I see them as human beings with four legs myself. So welcome on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And we also have Bob Crowley, president of the Apex Arts Council.
Good morning.
Good morning. And I think it might be better if you guys just pull the mic to yourself because you're coming on a little too faintly. So let's pull it over this way so you can get in front of it there, Jennifer. I'll get back to you in a minute. Do want to mention that Bob Crowley, president of the Apex Arts Council. The Apex Arts Council is now the underwriter, sponsor for Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Going to toot that a few times during the show. Also want to mention that the Farmers Market in Apex, I want to announce that vendors from the Apex Farmers Market will be at Beaver Creek Townhomes in the clubhouse every Saturday until Christmas from 10 until 3. There will be an assortment of baked goods, all-natural bath and body products, knife sharpening, Envy, soy candles, chain mail, jewelry, fresh farm-raised shrimp, which is pretty amazing, raised locally, believe it or not, red-eye barbecue, and more. This event will be highlighted by the infamous Chef Claudio, I didn't write this, who will be preparing some tasty morsels to be sampled by all. Vendors will vary from week to week, so come on down. Beaver Creek Townhomes is located at 201 Fantail Lane in Apex, and that's 27523, right next to Daniel's on 55. And that's the word. So over to you, Jennifer. I know you've reestablished yourself. You're no longer working out of a van, which was your former business, driving around to groom pets. And she had a van that was literally an operating unit for bringing dogs in, shampooing them, trimming them, doing whatever you had to do. I imagine you're pretty happy having more space.
Yes, definitely.
So tell us how that's going.
It's going well. We've been open a year now. We just had our anniversary the last week of October.
And how big is the space?
1,800 square feet.
And it's right off Main Street in downtown Apex.
It is on North Salem Street. The address is 1000 North Salem Street in Apex.
Mm-hmm.
It's just down the road from the main part of the historic district where all the restaurants and shops are.
And cue us into everything that you do with I want to say dogs, but I know you pretty much groom pets, right, for the most part.
Yes, we do dogs and cats. I myself do not do cats, but we have other groomers that work there who do cats.
Oh, I see. So it's more than just you in there.
Yes, it's what I've set up is a building that is run as a co-op.
I see.
In other words, people who are established groomers, have their own names, their own businesses, are welcome to rent a booth space and then do their skills inside this building.
And do you have it full at this point, or are you still open to people joining?
No, we're still open to qualified people joining.
Okay, good.
One half the building is devoted to grooming, and the other half is dog daycare. And what makes our facility unique is that we're cage free. We don't have any kennels on site.
Explain how that works.
Well, what we do is for grooming,
your Saint Bernard ate my Chihuahua. You know?
You forgot to feed your Saint Bernard before you brought
right.
him in.
That was your fault.
We don't have snacks here because it'll cause fights. No, actually, what we do is we assign grooming appointments every half hour mm-hmm. throughout the day. So that there's a constant recirculation of who's coming in and who's coming out. The dogs generally are there anywhere from 1 to 2 hours, depending on what breed it is and their condition. Some are there longer, some are there closer to just an hour, but 2 hours is the average.
But when you say kennel free?
When it's kennel free, what we've done is the dog is brought in at their appointed time, they're immediately taken into grooming, and then when they're done being groomed, they can go home. They don't need to stay the whole day.
Oh, okay.
So
immediate attention.
That's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So if an owner is not able to come pick them up immediately when they're done, they're welcome to participate in the daycare. And that's on the other end of the building, so they get supervised care just like the other dogs.
So basically somebody's refereeing these animals.
That's right. They can just get groomed and feel good and play, and it's a good day for everyone.
And you've never had a break into dog fights?
No.
That's interesting.
Well, dogs are pack animals by nature, so they really don't care to be in fights any more than humans do.
Or you think they'd have a pack up and attack the groomer?
No. I'm sure they think about it. But we don't offer anything that's going to be, you know, a precursor to a fight, anything that would...
Right. You can probably sense the troublesome ones, yeah.
We don't have toys on the premises. We don't have food, like treats or
so avoid any possessiveness.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And it's neutral territory.
Mm-hmm, that's
so
true.
Right there is one key element as to
that's probably the strongest
works.
Point, I would think.
Mm-hmm. And they're not there. All the dogs are not there long enough. Since they're going in and out at all these different hours during the day, they're not there to establish any kind of a hierarchy in their pack. So there really is no need for rank establishment or anything like this that would cause fights. So they all just get along.
Interesting concept.
And then it's great because we've got an outdoor area. We leave the door open. They've got free rein to go inside and outside.
Outdoor.
They love their independence. Right. And they run themselves silly, and then they come in around noontime, and they're all taking naps on the couches.
Dogville,
wherever
USA.
Wherever the dog beds are, yeah. So, you know, it'll be funny, because we'll be grooming, and then all of a sudden it'll be silent, and you'll think, did all the dogs get out? Why is it so quiet? You know, and you'll go over there, and you'll look, and they're just all zonked out all over the couches, laying on top of one another. And...
can I sign up for this?
You certainly can. But
you need some grooming.
Yeah. That was a good question. We do have a lot of people that ask that very same question when they come in.
Maybe we can answer it on the show, and they can refer to the podcast.
That's right.
There's your answer. Mm-hmm. Listen to your computer. So you're getting into all sorts of, you're part of all sorts of other groups with animals, people that rescue animals and such. You want to cue us in on your involvements?
What we do at Carolina Pet Spa, like I said, is grooming.
That's the name of it, Carolina Pet Spa.
Yes, that's the name that you'll see on the sign outside the street. The grooming is Carolina Pet Spa, and then that's me. And then the other groomers who are there, there's one called Pooches and Purrs. That's another groomer. That's her own business name. She's got her own phone number, etc. The pet care, the daycare, is called Penny Pinching Pooches. She's a separate company from me. She leases out the building space.
I see. Okay.
So when we have people that inquire about daycare, we'll just refer them on to her so that we don't misinform them about fees and whatnot, policies and that kind of thing. But we both use, you know, there's one entrance right in the center of the building that grooming and the daycare use. So once you come in, you're kind of split off into what area you need to be going to. And then what we do is we rent out the space for other activities. We've got dog trainers that come in and use the space for rally and other sports or just obedience training. Any other, you know, there's a whole slew of training disciplines that go on into dog daycare.
So you do this indoors?
We do this indoors, and then we have the fenced area outdoors as well. If the weather's nice, they can certainly move out there. And then we also get together with other groups. We've got rescue groups we work with. We work with the SPCA. We work with private rescue organizations. One of them that we work with is called Refurbished Canine Rescue.
Refurbished, what does that mean?
Yes. F-U-R, like fur.
I'm trying to envision this refurbished dog, and I'm having a Monty Python moment.
Yeah. Okay. So it's refurbishedcaninerescue.org is where you can find it on the web. And what they do is they're a small nonprofit organization that's all run by volunteers. It's based in the Triangle area, and their mission is to rescue, care for, and rehome neglected, abused, or homeless dogs. And generally speaking, the rescue dogs come mostly from area shelters where they're in danger of being euthanized simply because there's a lack of space for all the dogs in the area that need homes. So what this rescue organization will do is they go ahead and they pull these dogs out of the shelter, and then they'll provide them with foster care so they can learn manners and become socialized with other animals. And, of course, they're spoiled with plenty of loving care. And they're in that foster environment until they can find their forever home.
And you've got something coming up here.
Yes, we do. On December 15th, from 11 to 4, that's a Saturday, Carolina Pet Spa on North Salem Street will be sponsoring a refurbished canine rescue pet adoption. So we'll have plenty of dogs for people.
I'm gonna have to bring my little
select from
my little beagles by.
Yes, absolutely.
Problem is, I've fallen in love with every one of them. How do you shake them loose now? I've got 8 dogs all together.
Well, that's the challenge. That's why fostering animals is such a delicate process,
yeah, no doubt.
Because you got to find people who have the open heart and the love they need to give, but hopefully are willing to go ahead and give the animal to their proper home when the time comes. It's really a tough thing
to do. Well, if I run into some good souls, I definitely will, but I did not want to take the animal to flea markets or some of those open spaces where you never really know who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Dog could be supper later on that night.
Well, that's good of you. What we're doing is we are having people come check out some of the dogs that are there, and then they fill out an application where we can get their background information, what their living conditions are like. We want to make sure people have backyards that are fenced so the dogs can have plenty of
room. I got a zoo quite literally in my yard, yeah.
And that we also educate them, the public, regarding humane care and treatment of all animals. So, you know, they basically want to partner with area shelters and other rescue organizations in an effort to try to increase adoptions. And
how has this gone? Since you've done some of these, right? Are they pretty successful with it?
They are successful. It's interesting. It's totally unpredictable as far as the turnout and what dogs will be adopted.
I'm just wondering how the current economy affects things of that nature. Will people take on an added expense?
Well, I guess we're going to wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
Especially at Christmas time.
You'd think they'd make great Christmas presents, but I hope they don't get bought by people with whom the novelty of the animal wears off.
Yes.
That's the worst.
That's always the question.
Yeah.
Well, these pets are spayed and neutered before they are brought into adoption.
Good.
And we're also offering a $10 microchip clinic that day.
All right.
So that's a lifetime registration. So there's 2 major expenses right there.
So you can find out what...
To look forward to in the future.
So you can find out what direction that dog went into when it took off and went 50 miles away.
That's right.
Right.
Especially if it's a husky or a beagle or some of these other breeds that
looking
have
for chihuahuas or snacks.
For being roamers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then what we're doing at the shop, too, is we're offering free nail clipping for dogs that are adopted that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a treat, homemade treats basket that's going to be given out.
Good.
And then Carolina Pet Spa itself is offering, we have a treat tree, a wish tree, which is a Christmas tree set up in our waiting room at the shop.
I can just imagine the dogs enjoying this wish tree.
And instead of ornaments, we've placed a bunch of slips of paper up on the tree that are folded in half.
Okay.
And the customer is allowed to go select one. And then they
benefit. I see. This is for people. I was trying to envision
this
for dogs. Sorry.
This is for the people that adopt the dogs. They're eligible
blast.
To select a slip of paper and benefit from whatever's inside the paper.
Oh, fantastic.
So it could be things like 20% off your grooming.
Right.
You know, your next grooming. It could be free nail trim. It could be, you know, take home a doggy treat bag. It's whatever will help benefit them with getting into... You know, easing people nicely into pet ownership.
Gotcha.
So that
good.
The expense doesn't hit them all at once and they can give it enough time to thoroughly enjoy the animal before they,
fantastic.
Before they get in there.
Well, let's switch over for a moment to President of the Apex Arts Council, Bob Crowley. Make that thing squeak there, Bob.
Oh, I'm trying not to do that.
We're moving a microphone. That's what I was talking about. So anyway, how are welcome to the Speakeasy, and how are things with the Apex Arts Council?
The Apex Arts Council is doing great as usual. I mean, we're very proud to be your underwriter now. And
thank you.
I just thought that was an absolutely wonderful thing to do. And now after the show, we'll discuss creative control and all this.
Yes, there'll be somebody in my stead when you do that. Yes.
Yeah, I figured that much. But
Rock will handle it.
Yeah. But we're doing good. The next big thing we've got happening, we've got a painting class. You want to learn to paint? Come on down to
– just by numbers or what have we?
No. This will be on –
I can't paint by numbers.
Yeah. No numbers. This will be on the 8th
of – we got your number, though.
Yeah,
go ahead.
The 8th of December at the Holiday Inn Express on Highway 55 in Apex from 1 to 3 o'clock. You can go to our website and sign up and get more detail about it. It's $35.
That's a
2 hours.
Very fair price.
And all you need to bring is yourself and a photograph. We prefer a large format. Doesn't have to be glossy paper or anything. Just print it out on an ordinary computer paper. And in those 2 hours, we'll supply you with paint, brushes, canvas, everything you're going to need, and guarantee you will paint a recognizable picture of whatever photograph you brought.
Bring ugly pictures. They're more challenging.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But
so
you could bring...
it just be, you know, like a square?
You could bring just a square and paint that. You can bring a picture of your dog. But we're thinking, hey...
What does that do for abstract artists like me?
Well, it's Christmas.
Ah.
If you've got teenage kids...
Oh, yeah.
What mom would turn down a portrait of herself painted by her child?
That's right.
So, Dad, that's a great way to go.
That yellow splotch on the wall, man, that's me, baby.
Oh, man. Yeah, she would. And hey, guys, you know, you want to really impress her? Paint a picture of her. Guaranteed. Everything. All the way. Anyway, so
she,
that's right
she
there.
She seems to develop an attitude as the seasons pass. Yeah. You might wonder about that picture.
Don't do a picture of yourself, though, because it'll wind up as a dartboard.
I hold that privilege. Thank you very much.
Yeah. But go to the website, www.apexartscouncil.org, all one word, and right up at the top you'll see the note about the Christmas painting class, or go to the events section and you'll see that. And we've got a few art shows, and of course we're now starting to plan for a big show in April, Artists for Animals.
Right, that's coming about again, and apparently your location has changed.
Well, not changed. We're still negotiating. The physical layout of the location we used last year has changed around. They now have a sheep meadow as part of it, which is good, but it may cut into some of the space. So we have to look around at that and decide just how we're going to lay things out. Mm. But we're looking forward to that. That's the 19th of April. It's a Saturday. And the reason for Artists for Animals, we take half of the profit and donate it to Animal Rescue. So anything Wonderful. You come out for on that day, part of it is going to go to Animal Rescue. And we'll have animals there too, horses, dogs, cats,
and
ferrets.
Was it last year that you did one?
We did one last year.
Which was a great success,
We had over 600 people came out,
Fantastic.
120 artists. It was wonderful. I think Jennifer was even there.
And
she
it wasn't
was.
Just for the wine tasting.
No, it wasn't just for the wine tasting, but they thought it was wonderful, too, just
Good.
For that. But that's what's going on, and we're having fun, and here
you
we
had,
are.
You had artists set up. You had poets. You had storytellers.
We had musicians. We had 8 hours of solid music going. All sorts of stuff. Yeah, well.
I won't. I'll do my best not to miss the next one.
Well, I read part of my novel there.
Oh, good.
So we had a good old time doing that. So a lot of fun stuff happening. And Apex Arts Council is just moving right along.
Well, we're going to come back to both of you in a minute, but I think we need a music break with Rocco.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater. We'll be right back. WCOM Chapel Hill, Carrboro. A community radio station with something for everyone. Listen to our programming. You'll see we're high-powered and innovative. We're WCOM.
You're tuned to 103.5 FM, WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill, Carver. Están escuchando a 103.FM, WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill, Carver. Thanks for listening to our station.
Look around you. One in four kids in the U.S. faces hunger. It's not always easy to see the signs, but in this land of plenty, there are kids who don't know where they'll get their next meal. Join Share Our Strength and take the pledge to end childhood hunger here in America by 2015. Learn how at nokidhungry.org. Their next meal could come from you.
Your time is important. Take us along. We're Community Radio WCOM for Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Now back to Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater.
Okay, I got a big problem now. I can't run around nude in San Francisco anymore. What's going on?
Well, they've just
You're a California girl, right?
Yes, I'm from the People's Republic of California originally.
Ah. Is that right next to the Dominican?
No. I think it's an island of its own.
Yes, I think
it's
so.
It's its own little rock.
So what is the story about no more nudity in the streets of San Francisco?
Well, the mayor recently has just tried to encourage people to...
Did they scare the tourists off? Is that what happened?
I don't know.
What about this Bush guy?
Well, oh, Bushman?
Bushman, right.
Yeah, Bushman is he's not a nudist, but he's famous for... He's a graduate of University of Berkeley, and he likes to hide in the bushes at Fisherman's Wharf and pop
and scare
out and
people.
Scare tourists as they walk by.
Well, tell him since everybody else is getting dressed, he can go naked. Then really scare some folks.
Claudio and Jennifer and Bob, years ago back in the 60s, I could remember hearing what Jennifer said about California. In Arizona, they used to call it the Democratic People's Republic of California.
I've heard talk like that, yes.
It hasn't changed.
No.
So what I was going to ask, what made you leave that? You know, everybody thinks of the Bay Area as a place you'd want to live.
Well, I think for a lot of people it is a place that is worthwhile living. But for myself, I was born there, and I had done what I wanted to do in that area. And
been there, done that sort of thing.
I got the itch to move on and try new things, and so I found myself coming here.
Of all things North Carolina, what pointed the compass in that direction?
Well, I think I was looking for a more civilized
community. They're calling us civilized? How dare you?
You much to live, yes.
Y'all sure you know where you are now?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you call running around in your clothes civilized.
Yes, I don't. I think naked is much better. It's much truer to the historical aspect. So let's go on about things to do with Doggy World or Pet World.
Oh.
Your what's the name of your business again?
Carolina Pet Spa.
Pet Spa, right.
Our website is carolinapetspa.com. And we are working this December with a rescue organization called RefurbishCanineRescue.org.
This does not mean they get artificial hair.
No.
Refurbished.
No, no. It means they're refurbished in terms of they are going from a neglected circumstance to a loving
good,
circumstance and good loving
homes.
Hope
they all do.
Yes, we hope so too. We're going to give it a try. December 15th from 11 to 4. If you have any information and you need to contact anyone about this event, you can contact myself, Jennifer Tillman, carolinapetspa@gmail.com, or you can contact Kim Russell. She is with the Refurbished Canine Rescue Organization, and you may contact her at admin, short for administrative, at refurbishedcaninerescue.org. That is her email address. I don't have a phone number available, so you will have to do email.
Email should work. You were pointing something out to me on a list that you have.
Oh, yes. We are also advertising the event in the Independent newspaper and on Craigslist. And we're going to have a number of flyers around town posting the event. If you are not yourselves interested in adopting in adopting a new pet for a companion, certainly tell your friends about it. Have them come out.
Now, can pets be brought to this to be adopted out by people, or is it strictly limited to the organization itself?
Right now, we're limiting it to what the organization has. There's going to be 20 dogs there to choose from,
okay,
which is plenty.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing is people are not going to go home that day with dogs. We're going to be having people fill out an application and go through an interview process.
Will they get to meet the animal? Or?
They'll get to meet the animal, okay, but they cannot go home with it that day.
Well, that's good.
We want to make sure people like are properly policing. Screened.
Mm-hmm. Good, good.
But if you are someone in the public and you would like to bring your pet in for microchipping, you may do that.
What does that service cost?
We're running it for $10.
It's a very
It's a one-time, lifetime registration fee. And we will have a specialist there on site to do it for you.
And how does one, I understand the chip being implanted in the dog, but what is the monitoring device that the human hands would find the animal by?
Actually, the owners themselves are not given a monitoring device. That is something that is exclusive to shelters and veterinary offices.
Oh, interesting. So you'd have to tell them you lost your dog and then they'll look the dog up.
Yes. Or if the dog is found and brought to one of those organizations,
mm-hmm,
the proper personnel at those organizations will be able to see if the dog has a microchip and look it up.
And is the idea behind confining this to that establishment, is the idea there to make sure that the animal hasn't been abused or had a good reason for running off? I'm wondering if some of that plays into it.
I'm sure some of it probably does.
It would make sense.
But also, people want to make sure that when an animal is located, that they do locate the proper owner.
Right.
You know, anyone can come in the door and say, that's my dog. I lost him 2 weeks ago.
I see what you mean, yeah.
You know, and there's really no another way to identify whether or not it is truly the owner of that animal. So
let's slip back into some of your grooming tales. I was fascinated with some of the dogs you told me about. I mean, the book is full of stories like that, and I know you're still promoting the book.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the contact for that, and then actually tell us some stories about animals that intrigued you, dogs that you.
Oh gosh, well, we run into them every day. The book.
Give us the contact for the book. Yeah,
the book highlights some of the more memorable personalities that I've
and the experience of working as a groomer. I might add, my God,
yes,
what you go through.
Yes, being a groomer is a lot like being a nurse. It can be really messy at times. It can be really rewarding at other times.
No doubt.
But generally speaking, pets are just four-legged people.
I would say, yeah.
They all have their own individual personalities, sets of likes and dislikes, their own
temperaments. Their stubborn streaks, yeah.
Their experiences have all accumulated to make them who they are at any given moment. Some breeds are known for certain traits.
You were telling
for a good
me
reason that others are not.
You were telling me the last time I had you on, I forget what type of dog this was, but it got upset with its owners and locked them out of the house. Give us that story. Do you remember that one?
Oh, actually, it wasn't the owners. It was the groomers.
Oh, the groomers.
Yes, it was the groomers in the grooming shop.
Interesting. Should you be revealing this?
Sure, why not? It was a standard poodle by the name of Posey. And Posey knew how to use deadbolts on doors. So not only could she turn door handles, but she knew how to use a dead bolt.
That's pretty good.
Above the door handle. And she thought it was great fun to lock people out, especially if it was the groomers and it's cold and snowing outside. And we'd go outside to take the trash out or something like that, and we'd find ourselves not being able to come back in because the door would be locked. And she'd be, you know, it'd be one of these doors that has half a window in the top half of the door.
Mm-hmm.
And so she'd be standing up on her hind legs, peering out the door at us with this grin on her face that basically said, hi, you're locked out.
Could you get the dog to open up again? Or?
Yeah, we'd bang on the door. Posey, open the door! Posey! You know, and pretty soon you'd hear the deadbolt turn and we could open
darned
the door, but then she would take off like a shot and go hide under something so we couldn't grab her.
She's in trouble now.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, she definitely had it all figured out. And people just don't realize how intelligent animals are.
And they are very much like humans.
They have full capacity of emotions, just like we
yes
do. They do suffer from the same aches and pains. And
they're very
concerns
emotional.
Yes,
yes.
Mm-hmm. And if you talk to them every day like you do to another human, you'll discover that they do have quite an expansive vocabulary and understand everything you say to
them. I talk to mine, and they'll sit there and actually listen to you, and you sort of shift their faces around
mm-hmm
with their little expressions at what you're saying.
Yes.
And whether they understand the exact language or not, I think they pick up the vibe more than anything, and they understand you through that.
Well, we don't really understand if it's a vibe or if it's a telepathic
that's poor choice of words
communication
like
or if it's actually the language. But they do understand quite a bit.
You're putting something forth in expressing yourself that isn't verbal. And
right.
Maybe that's what they're picking up on.
Yeah, it could be. But then there's the example of my horse that I have. One day I was bringing her in from the pasture to the barn, and there was a gate we had to go through. And I was with a girlfriend at the time, and my girlfriend offered to close the gate behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And my horse decided to stop halfway through the gate and munch on some grass. I was sitting right there, and I said, "All the way through the gate, babe, so Miss Sharon can close the gate behind us." Well, immediately thereafter, she just lifted her head
moved
up,
on,
and
yeah.
walked right on through and stopped, you know, just on the other side of where the gate was going to close. Just enough room and stuck her head back down the grass and nibbled. And so, you know, you'd be quite amazed at the response.
I think what's really more amazing is that we humans tend to assume that everything that is not human has no intelligence.
That's right, and it's a shame.
That's the real stupidity.
Yes, absolutely. They're all, every living being on the planet is comprised of the same organ set, the same set of emotions, the same mineral makeup.
And has an equal right to be here and have a good life.
That's right. And just because we look different from one another doesn't mean we're less intelligent.
That's right. Otherwise, I recommend back to the trees.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's a lot of people that will go ahead and agree that in a lot of ways animals have a different kind of intelligence than humans do. I think over time humans have lost a lot of their instincts.
Well, they've deliberately surrendered them
and,
to the dictates of society.
You know, one of them, and that I use as a perfect example of that, is child rearing. You know, when we give birth,
I thought it was televisions that are raising our kids.
We have someone else help us give birth. Show us how we're supposed to nurse our child. Show us how, you know, these are all things that come naturally in the animal kingdom.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you never have to educate them on any of those.
And where do they learn that? You know what I mean? Where does a bird learn to collect leaves and sticks and twigs and debris of all kinds?
Never mind weaving them together so incredibly well.
That's right. And weaving them together in something that is strong enough to hold all their babies.
Yeah.
Up high, high, high in a tree. And they didn't go to an architectural program at the university. But where do they learn this? It's just incredible.
And really, I think we should spend more time wanting to communicate with all the different species that we have here instead of fantasizing about going to other planets and communicating with aliens or whatever's up there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, let's get it straight down here first, folks.
Right.
The bus ain't leaving.
Yeah, I think it's a shame sometimes that the arrogance that people project is...
It's so harmful to creatures.
It is. It's harmful to themselves. It's harmful to the creatures.
Yeah. So much happens by neglect. Well, time to go back to the Apex Arts Council. Bob, pull that mic over to you.
Okay.
Now tell me something I don't know.
Tell you something
where
that
I get
you don't
that line
know. From? we communicate with artists much the same way that you were just describing with the dog.
I see.
There are some artists.
Pointing
that,
a finger here. Yes,
no,
go ahead.
No, but there's some artists that are like that. But... the Arts Council, what are we doing? Oh, we're expanding. We're doing all kinds of fun stuff.
You just had the website redesigned, which is
we
quite
just
beautiful.
Had our website redesigned. I mean, that's kind of de rigueur these days. Everybody has to do that every year or so. But
and I need to write you some more reviews and critiques, which I've been rather neglectful of. I'll get that to
you. We've seen a good number of good movies, and I'm looking for your review of Lincoln when you get to see
that. I really look forward to seeing that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that one amazes me because I never would have picked Daniel Day-Lewis.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it,
not
but
yet,
just looking at the promos, they did some amazing
things. He doesn't even get out of
makeup.
Bed unless there's an Oscar in it, right?
Oh, okay. God, I mean, I guess so. And, so it's going to be a good one.
Bob,
definitely.
Let me ask you is Apex going to be having a Christmas parade?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Ah, yes,
when
yes.
is the Christmas
parade? Oh, the Christmas parade. Well, we actually start the Christmas festivities on Friday at 5 o'clock. We have Christmas on Salem Street. And Christmas on Salem Street is a fun celebration. We start at 5 in front of the Chamber of Commerce, the old railway station.
Right.
We will have carolers there. We will have the mayor there, the town council, all the politicians and stuff. And then at some point, as the sun sets, the mayor will light the official Apex Christmas tree. And Santa Claus arrives, and we have a... all kinds of fun.
Speaking of which, I want to get that mayor or the former mayor on my show at some point. He's a hoot.
Of Apex?
Yeah. We talked about that a while back. What's his name? The not the current mayor, but the former one.
Well, if you want the former one, you got to go a long way back, because the current one's been there for almost 20 years.
Oh, is it the current one I'm talking about? The one that sold my art piece at the auction?
Oh, you're thinking about J.C. Knowles. He's not mayor.
I thought he was a mayor at one time.
He is the ambassador.
Oh, boy, I need to get my facts straight. Yeah. Sorry, I read the wrong book.
No, J.C. Knowles is the ambassador of Apex to the world.
He is a character, that guy.
If you knew his background and his life history, he also tells the world's worst jokes. But
they're funny coming from him.
Yeah.
They're so bad, they're funny.
Yeah, I mean, his favorite at the moment is to tell you that about the bad news that just came out of Chapel Hill, that they had to drop driver's ed at UNC, and the mule died. Anyway, they...
Right, yeah, that is rather dated.
Yeah, but we will have this Christmas on Salem Street. Once the tree is lit, we have horse-drawn carriages up and down the street. The merchants will be open until 10, 11 o'clock at night. There'll be sales going on. Great thing to do. We then shut everything down. The next morning, we wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning at the firehouse with pancakes with Santa Claus.
Will there be nudity?
I certainly hope not.
The dwarves.
Santa being nude?
There we go.
Santa.
You won't be able to cheat with a pillow if he's nude.
Anyway,
Bob doesn't want to talk about this. He knows him.
When we're finished with that, Santa will be at the firehouse all day. We can take pictures on the antique fire engine with Santa Claus.
Ah.
And then at 5 o'clock in the evening, we have the Apex Christmas Parade, which will go on for a number of hours.
See, naked would work on the fire engine.
Maybe it'd work during the parade.
There we go. I think so. It would definitely draw a crowd. Believe this?
I still say we got to come here sometime with all this glass around us. Now we got to do a totally nude radio show.
All right, and invite bricks through the window.
Yeah,
right.
I'd be curious if we did that. How many people would show up to see if we? Anyway, moving right along.
Yes.
But that'll get the Christmas season and Apex off to a good start this Friday night and Saturday. So just come on down. And
I'm glad you asked that question. It's coming right up.
We'll have everybody up and stop by the Common Grounds Coffee House. You'll probably find me in there.
Yes.
The cheesecake is worth it even if I'm not there.
Uh-huh.
And say hello to Mark, the owner, and let him know that you heard it first on WCOM Radio.
That's right.
By the way, give us some money, too. We can always use more donations here at WCOM.
We do. We do need more fundraising
here.
That
is true.
Yeah.
And we need a few underwriters that might have an interest in sponsoring shows to contact those particular hosts. That would be quite helpful because not all of us here are salesmen enough to go out and find underwriters or sponsors. There are others that are more seasoned and some people that are actually quite uncomfortable making those kinds of approaches. So if there is any sponsor that happens to be listening that wants to pick up the Speakeasy or any other radio show that they're fond of here on WCM, please find a way to contact those hosts.
Well, we did it. You did it, right. It's worthwhile, and I'm having a heck of a good time here.
Yeah, same here.
So we're doing that. But that's pretty much what's happening in Apex. But, yeah, we'll get J.C. Knowles to come on in here.
I just think he'd be a lark. He's got to be in the archives. That's what I feel. That's how I feel
this,
about that
this
guy.
Man is something else.
And, Rocco, you'd have a blast with him.
He's 84 years old, and he gets around better than most of the 20-year-olds in the town. He is officially the Apex ambassador to the world. He is paid, actually, a small stipend by the town through the
downtown business.
Doesn't
he have a little paper that comes out?
He prints a little newspaper, which is mostly ads and funny stories and historic pieces. I write for him on occasion. Good stuff. Just come on down Apex. It's a great place to visit.
Yeah.
Historic downtown Apex.
And it's not going to become Cary anytime soon.
It's not going to
become. I know Cary's been wanting to swallow it up since I lived there.
All I know is a couple of years
ago. They hit a nail.
I was at a planning meeting, a meeting of city planners in Raleigh, and we had another really pretty Wake County town there. And all they kept telling everybody is how they were going to maximize their downtown because we want to be like Apex. We want to be like Apex. So we felt really good about that, ever that they want to copy us.
Apex has stuck to its guns. I've always been proud of it for
the
that.
Peak of good living.
Hey.
That's what it's all about. So we're doing that. And then you do things in Apex. You're there at our farmer's market.
Well, you get me into lots of trouble. So, but yes, I am part of the farmer's market now. Trying to make a living with my tropical moon and culinary aspects.
Yeah,
and it's actually doing quite well.
Go down and get to the farmer's market. Meet the famous Claudio right there. I mean,
meet the chef. That's right.
Yeah.
Meet the rest of the gang.
We'll have tomaine pills over in the corner. Don't worry.
Tomaine pills. Okay, I'll try one.
Yeah. Anti-tomaine, actually.
Well, let's go back to Jennifer. I'm sure she has more to add at this point. Rocco, did you have something?
Oh, I was just going to tell our listeners that your host, Claudio, is available as a poet with a one-man band for house concerts, performing original and traditional literary readings. Claudio is well known as a classical poet and a master storyteller. His website is claudioarts.com.
Thank you. And back to the doghouse.
All right.
Now that I'm in it.
Woof. You didn't have your facts straight.
Tell us more.
So what are some of the aspirations of the future? Now that you've got this facility, have any ideas come to mind of going in different directions than the traditional ones that you've been involved in? Or I'm just wondering what's cooking under the helmet?
We found that having the setup that we do, which is cage-free, and a waiting room for pet parents to stay in while their dog is being groomed, if they prefer.
Put the parents in the cage.
There you go. Is actually catching on really well. And so we're hoping that we can expand to other locations.
Really? You're already thinking about that? Like in Apex or anywhere?
No. Carolina Pet Spa can go anywhere in the Carolinas. If we franchise, we can certainly make accommodations for other names.
That's pretty impressive. Even to already be thinking about that must mean things are going well.
Things are going very well. We've had a very good first year. We opened the first day to three customers, and it has just increased exponentially since. We've never had a lull.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so the cage-free environment seems to be the winner. Everyone really appreciates
that. Were those three part of the gossip crew, or were they just regular locals? Sounds like the word got around.
Yeah, nice. They're regular locals.
Well, that's the beauty of a small town, really, where people do hold together. Word of mouth is really the strength that carries the day.
It is. Yeah, and, finding the right help is key also.
No doubt.
If you've got people who care more about the pets than themselves, which is what we're about, then it's a winner.
Yeah, no doubt. Because you've got that attitude.
Because everyone can bring their entrepreneurial spirit into the pot and start up and come up with all kinds of good ideas. One other idea that we're doing this Christmas season is a donation. We have a donation bin set up front.
Inside your establishment?
Inside the shop.
Okay.
And people who aren't necessarily customers can participate in donating.
And what is this donation for?
It's for the benefit of animals, not people. At Christmas time, people think about, clothing and coats and things like that for other people. But what we want to do is actually go out there and tell people, don't forget about pets.
Yeah.
There's lots of pets in shelters and things that need food. They need gently used collars and leashes and bedding, even money to help support
vaccinations. Most of all, they need love, yeah.
And other medications to keep their
good
health so they can be adopted. Pets sometimes will run up against kennel-borne viruses like kennel cough.
No doubt,
so
yeah.
So you need to have antibiotics.
Pretty rough stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so we want people to know that they can come by the shop and bring canned food, dry food, anything that they've got.
And you take this directly to shelters.
And we take it directly to shelters or to rescue organizations.
Wonderful.
In the Triangle area.
But I seem to have become a rescue organization myself.
Yeah.
The animals seem to find me when they stray.
That's a wonderful thing. Animals can tell who's an animal person.
Oh, they certainly can. And they can wrap you around their little paws in no time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're also having, for this year, we are starting some other projects. We're going to have some items available for resale, which cannot be found anywhere else.
Such as?
We've got some dog treats that are homemade. They're kind of like the human version of a power bar.
Okay.
But they are all supplements with herbs and things to benefit health. So they won't hurt them.
They have to consider what their digestive system can handle.
That's right. We've got some that improve the coat and the health of their hair. We've got some that are good for sensitive tummies. We've got senior dog supplements. We've got some that are able to benefit dogs with their joint health.
Good. Is garlic good for dogs?
Garlic
just a curiosity,
is not good.
Since it seems to do well for Italians, just wondering if...
In large quantities, it is not good. Any of these herbs in large quantities can be
toxic.
See that. But these treats are all veterinary recommended. They've been researched. They actually are FDA backed, so they're perfectly safe for your pet.
And who backs the FDA?
That's a good question.
Right. Sometimes I wonder about these people that are supposedly looking out for us.
Oh, we've got those available. My book is available in the shop. It's also available on Amazon.com, at Books A Million, at the publisher, tapepublishing.com.
And that's Grooming Tales from
grooming
A
tales
to Z.
From A to Z. And then you're also going to find some other things in our shop, like, you can order custom-made collars with your dog's name and phone number on it. So if you get tired of the clanging of the little tag, you can get rid of the tag now. Still have the information embroidered into the collars.
Perfect.
That kind of thing.
Good. Rocco, you seem to...
Jennifer, what percentage of the dogs that you have approximately would be adopted or taken in by families that, come to the shelter or the facility you have?
Well, actually, these adopt-a-thons do better simply because of the reason that people will come and look at an animal in an environment that isn't so ugly to them. Like, a lot of people are heartbroken. They don't want to go to shelters. It's hard for them to be there and see how many dogs are looking for homes. And it just doesn't look humane to a lot of people. So these adopt-a-thons do a lot better than... the shelters do.
I can see that, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's just a general atmosphere in some of those places,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and it's a warm atmosphere. The shelter doesn't come across as warm. Mm-hmm. You know, it comes across as a temporary.
Well, I imagine there would be a big difference in the dogs that are staying in these shelters for a long period of time compared to a, let's say, you get a puppy that's only been there for a month or two. And then someone adopts that dog, the dog's going to be, you know, I believe maybe a better pet for the family rather than having a dog that's been in a shelter for years. I don't know how long these shelters keep the dogs.
They certainly have a unique way of showing their gratitude. Animals are by nature very grateful.
You know, everyone that I've ever met who has adopted from a shelter has all commented on what a great dog. It's the best dog I've ever had. It's been a shelter dog.
Sure, I can
and
see that.
And I think, you know, your comment about the gratitude is very palpable.
Yeah,
the animals know.
They really appreciate you.
And they do appreciate it. And they do anything to please you. There are certain breeds that have that as their trait, but you'll find that a shelter dog will have that regardless.
To reflect on what you said about the atmosphere, I freed an Irish setter from one of the animal shelters. Mm-hmm. And I think that dog, among with many others, they were actually putting animals down in this place.
Mm-hmm.
And it was aware of dogs being taken out of their cages and never coming back. So I went to get the dog, that Irish setter, until I got it home 20 miles later, that Irish setter just knew he was going to die until I took him out in my yard and put him in with my other dogs, and then he did backflips. I mean, this guy was so happy, he couldn't believe that, you know, he was not going to disappear like the rest of them. So they have a very keen sense of what's going on.
Oh, they do, absolutely. And they're aware of life's cycle.
Almost like a slaughterhouse. They know that, you know, this dog is now getting...
Well,
you know, dogs are very intelligent. They communicate in ways that we don't understand as humans. Let me set an example to illustrate my point. I had a Dalmatian that was very ill. She had a bladder infection caused by E. coli 3 years back. I had to eventually put her down because this E. coli just was out of control. We couldn't kill it, eradicate it. Anyway, I took her to her favorite spot the day before I put her down, and she didn't want to be there. It was evident. Well, I took her home, and the next-door neighbor dogs usually would come up to greet her. Well, in this particular case, they didn't go up to greet her. She instead did the reverse and went to greet them. And they were in the garage of their house, and one of them didn't bother getting up, and they just communicated telepathically, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one got up and sniffed her and gave her a kiss and then laid back down. And then she came back home with me. And I put her down the next day. And when I came home from putting her down, those two dogs were on my front lawn having their own private ritual.
I totally believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are certainly aware of things, and they are as saddened by things of that nature. Even though
But they accept it better than humans do.
They really do. I know that I had...
They said their goodbyes and...
I had a dog that was dying... less than a year ago. I don't even know what she was. Just this gorgeous thing. It looked like a fox that I think it was some kind of a mixed breed, but beautiful. I called her Raggedy Ann. And I've got my main dog inside, Whitefoot, who's a black lab. It's got some shepherd in him. Beautiful dog. Rottweiler-type face, but he's not a Rottweiler. Just those markings, which are beautiful. And I was out there just suffering through her, you know, basically her death pangs with her. And I had Whitefoot coming out with me just for support. And this was literally his woman, too. And he's watching me handle her. And you know, around the time that she died, he took this, you know, you could tell that he had totally accepted this thing while she was even still going through the death throes. And he gave me this look, I kid you not, like, you are taking this far too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
That's the impression I got when he looked at me. So they know something we don't.
Yes, that's for sure. And another interesting story has just been circulating on the web recently. I received an email, and essentially the gist of the story is that a lady went to a shelter to get a dog for her father. Her father was ill. He was older and cranky. She thought this dog would be a benefit to him so that mm-hmm. he could look forward to life, not being depressed and whatnot. So she got this dog. Well, he refused to have anything to do with the dog when she brought it home. But the dog went up and sat in front of this man and gently lifted his paw up to greet this man, who later became his companion. The dog was for him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the man finally warmed up to the dog, and they spent the next 3 years going everywhere together, fishing holes, you know, church in town, everything. Well, when this man finally died one night, this woman, you know, her father lived with her. This woman was woken in the middle of the night by the dog, and he had never done this before. He usually would, you know, sleep in the room with the father.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she come to find out the dog was bugging her because the father had died in his sleep. So when she discovered, she went into the room to see what the problem was. She discovered, well, the father had died. This is why the dog's bugging me. Well, 2 days later, the dog had died beside the bed of the father. So it's almost as if the dog said, oh, my work here is done now. Now it's my time to go.
Yeah.
And he just let himself go.
Hmm.
So it's very interesting.
Well, Jennifer, you and Claudio and Bob were talking about how instinctive animals, birds, dogs are, and they are.
Mm-hmm.
And you put them in one environment, and they have to adapt to whatever they're in.
Yes.
In the case of, say, birds, a bird that's outside, always in the wild, is hardwired, I think, to know what to do to survive
right.
and be able to make mm-hmm. a nest. Whereas if you took that same bird, and that bird that was in the wild never had a chance to be in the wild and was kept in a cage, it would have to adapt to whatever its environment was, and it would.
It would certainly be less threatened by the cage.
Exactly. Yeah. And dogs are so instinctive. I've mm-hmm. I've had a fellow tell me one time who was very involved with raising dogs and selling them, and he was telling me that the dogs have their own, as you said, language, communication skills that's between them, and some of them are so subtle. For example, one flip of the ear, just moving their ear a little bit, means something to the other dog.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
And there is a continual communication between the dogs that we never pick up on, but
right.
they are able to make motions, hold their head, move their eye, move their ears, whatever is sending a signal out there, and the other one will know what it means.
And I think lot of that difference is the fact that we as humans we rely more on verbal communication than anything else. You know, we have to be taught how to look out for certain meanings in body language
yeah,
and
right.
things like that, whereas dogs are all body language.
Pantomime, the communication
right.
of that.
Well, some of the anthropologists essence. Will tell you that human beings, people, thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, were much more instinctive
mm-hmm.
because they were living in the wilds
oh, yeah.
and civilization and culture has changed everything, and now we've become so non-instinctive.
We've been dumbed down.
Compared
dumbed
to what we
right.
used to be.
Yeah, very
and
much
And I think
so.
There's a lot of truth in that.
Very yeah. much so. Well, I'm afraid we're going to have to bring the speakeasy to a wrap. I want to thank you folks for joining me. If there are any last-minute statements you want to make, Bob, or email addresses or anything you want to give, let's do that on the way
out. Just to remind everybody, if you're interested in the Apex Arts Council, what we're doing, just go to our website, www.apexartscouncil.org. And that's the best place to find anything.
And they are, of course, the Speakeasy's new underwriter.
Absolutely.
Jennifer, anything you want to add? Your website again?
My website is carolinapetspa.com. And the rescue organization's website we're working with on December 15th is refurbishedcaninerescue.org. If you have any questions, go to either one of those websites, and hopefully you will find your answer.
Wonderful. And the word is, take care of your four-legged friends or whatever, however many legs they have out there, the creatures on this planet that have the same right to be here as the rest of us do. Until next time, thank you for joining us. Cheers.